I'd like now to introduce Jennifer Monson. She is a choreographer, and she's the artistic director of ILAND. That stands for Interdisciplinary Laboratory for Art, Nature, and Dance. She will be speaking tonight at Tipton Hall, sponsored by the Santa Fe Art Institute. That's at 6 o'clock. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
So I have not yet experienced the work that you do. So lead us a little bit in talking about how you integrate dance and choreography with an attempt to understand the earth and the environment where people are.
I think the best place to start is with the first project that I did that brought me out into this type of environmental work. I've been living in New York City for over 10 years, and I was hanging out at an abandoned industrial site on the Brooklyn waterfront. And there was a broken hydrant, fire hydrant, and an abandoned field that had become a kind of urban wetlands area where migratory birds were stopping through. And I started to think about how migrations tie these global communities together, and also thinking about how animals navigate and their strategies for navigating. And that clicked with me as a way that I was also thinking about my own dancing experience. As a dancer, I move with my proprioceptive senses, especially as an improviser, moving through space with other dancers. And as I began to research animal navigation, that gave me the idea to do this project where I would actually get myself out of the city and literally follow the migrations of animals. So I followed gray whales from Baja California, Mexico, up the Pacific coast to Vancouver Island in Canada, ospreys from their nesting grounds in Maine, down the Atlantic Flyway through Cuba and Venezuela, and then ducks and geese up the Mississippi Flyway.
How did you do that? How did you follow them?
Well, we actually followed in cars. I wish we'd flown or taken boats or something.
Or hot air balloon.
Yeah. But all our performances were outdoors, and I actually did it as an attempt to get in closer contact with the cycles of the seasons, to learn more about celestial navigation, to pay attention to the tidal cycles. I think I had a relatively romantic notion at that point of getting back to nature. And the whole project just led me through a series of redefinitions of what nature means, what sustainability means, what conservation means, what sharing the planet with other animals means. And for some reason, for me, it makes complete sense to figure that out through the body. Like my body moving and dancing through a landscape produces a kind of knowledge of that place that's really particular to an embodied and embedded knowledge of place that's different than painting or photography because it is so experiential.
So you would dance in the landscape?
Yeah, so we would dance along the beaches, the first or in parking lots or schoolyards or through marshes. We were often dancing in national parks or state parks or county parks or in schoolyards.
How many dancers were there doing this together?
I took three additional dancers besides myself, and there was a videographer documenting the project and then sometimes a project manager.
And so how is your dancing different? Like, describe the experience of dancing on a beach versus a parking lot versus a marsh.
The dancing along a beach is really particular because of the sand and the ocean and the wind. It becomes almost, there's a sense of borderlessness between the body and the environment, where I would say dancing in a parking lot or through streets, you're negotiating the built environment in a completely different way. And it's one that we're more familiar maybe with moving through. We're used to walking down sidewalks and crossing streets. But once you start dancing, you're moving through the streets, alongside of cars, changing your level, rolling. It's a quite intimate experience of a space that, you know, is considered dangerous or dirty. So that really shifts my perception of place and of dancing.
And if we were to, say, watch the dancers and take out the background, would we know where you were by the way you were moving?
That's a really excellent question. I've just been looking at the videos now, thinking about what I'm going to show tonight, and going back to look at this project of the gray whale migration, which was in 2000, which was quite a while ago, and I'm even trying to contextualize my work from a piece from 1993, and I'm actually seeing a lot of similarities in the movement, but there is a very different sense of space and timing in the work outdoors. I think often things slow down because there's so much information coming in and the energy spreads out into the space, whereas you're working in a more enclosed space, the energy kind of reverberates and resonates.
As they say, bouncing off the walls.
Exactly, yeah.
So you said a moment ago that you redefined your sense of nature from a romanticized concept of getting back to nature to something else. Tell us about that process.
So one reason I'm extremely happy to be here in Santa Fe is I grew up spending a lot of time in the high desert in Southern California. So I think my early experiences of dancing were navigating and climbing around, scrambling through these flesh-colored rocks. The place where I spent time was very near Joshua Tree National Monument. So I think I had a very special sense of being alone in a pretty pristine and untouched wilderness place. And I think living in New York, I began to feel sort of bereft and somewhat hopeless about the condition of the world, how quickly it was changing, that my children would never experience something that I'd experienced. And I think I had a kind of like a holding a place in time of what that was wilderness. But of course, what wilderness is constantly changing, especially in our sort of American psyche. So actually, you know, this urban wetlands with the broken fire hydrant, I began to see that, oh, this was just as much nature and just important on this navigational flyway as any other part. And then my next project after this bird brain migration was in an abandoned reservoir on the border of Brooklyn and Queens. So here's a built landscape, was built in 1860, that's been abandoned and drained, and there's pretty much what one would consider a completely native habitat that's taken hold in this empty reservoir that's like the swamp forest you'd find out further on Long Island, but it's, you know, replaced itself in this, you know, this place it wouldn't be. It's on the top of the terminal moraine of the Wisconsin Ice Sheet. It's quite high, but there's still this swamp in it. So those kind of, the kind of resilience and fragility of those systems really inspire me. And I think dance is particularly useful for, well, just because I am a dancer, but looking at relationships of scale and temporal and spatial relationships as well. Something like this reservoir, researching it from kind of geologic perspective and then the kind of immediate presence of the space in relation to all the urban citizens that take advantage of it.
We're talking to choreographer Jennifer Monson. So how does the work you do translate into the community? In other words, the non-dancers, the audiences who might encounter your work?
So I'll use the example of this Ridgewood Reservoir project again. As part of my research, I invited the Brooklyn Bird Club to come in and do a nesting bird count, and local botanists and fish biologists. So there was a kind of that kind of scientific research. I introduced people to the reservoir that hadn't been familiar with it before. And then during the time that we were doing the project, the city decided to develop this reservoir site as a regional park and fill it and make ball fields. But the Brooklyn Bird Club was so excited that they'd found 60 acres of urban wilderness that was a really essential migratory route for migrating birds. And so they started a community group that has been successful in putting a moratorium on the development of the site. So there's kind of immediate activist outflow of that project. We also included 8 young Chinese dancers from a dance school in Elmhurst, Queens, and they presented work that we choreographed together in our June performances. And then people from the neighborhood could come and walk around the perimeter of the reservoir, and we had sort of docents that could talk about the dance, could talk about native plants, could talk about the birds, could talk about the architectural history of the reservoir. And I collaborated with some architects who set up these nice areas for the audience to sit and get more information and talk to people. So there are many ways to bring the audience into this experimental dance form that might seem sort of odd at first, but there were people who could encourage them and ask them questions about their experience with the project as well.
One of my favorite books of all time is Isadora Duncan's autobiography. And at the very beginning, she was so poor that she never had babysitters or anything like that. And she said that she learned to dance from the Pacific Ocean and the sky and the trees. And I love that idea that the rest of nature is teaching us how to move. Do you have that kind of experience of learning from nature itself?
Absolutely. In my studies, I've touched into a form called body-mind centering by Bonnie Bainbridge Cohen, and she talks about the development of the embryo. And so she talks about that's the movement of the cell that creates development. So from the very beginning, it's movement that allows us to grow. And I think that my own experience of moving as a dancer in the studio and experiencing that evolution of an internal awareness with the external environment has been really important. And that we just finished a project on the New York City watershed. And every day we spent 50 minutes or so just witnessing the water And I feel like over time, that experience of just witnessing the water on the New York City Harbor, which every day was completely different, had a quite profound physical experience inside of me and in the way that I'm dancing now.
It sounds like it's so related in a certain way to meditation, where you focus on the breath or you focus on some object of contemplation that has a steadiness to it but is also always changing.
Yes, I think that's really true. And there's something I'm looking at now between how you engage in watching someone else dance and how you engage in the intimacy of experience a landscape. And I think there's some interconnectedness between the empathy and emotional connections we make with each other and with landscape and the stories that landscapes tell and the stories that bodies hold. And my last project, this one on New York City Watershed, has a very intimate one-on-one relationship with the performer and the audience, where we tried to develop a kind of system where you were both watching your partner and watching the whole group and the landscape at the same time. So that's I think, quite appropriate that you picked up on that, this kind of contemplative moment of perception and perceiving empathy with other and with place.
And, yeah, and you start to see the relationship between water, self, dance, landscape, other.
Yeah.
In a way that you wouldn't normally.
Yeah, and I've also been so interested in these different productions of knowledge or ways of knowing the world, because I myself am so drawn to scientific understandings, with the bird brain migration, hanging out with folks who were doing satellite tracking of the ospreys and of gray whales and learning about native plants and the water cycle and stream restoration projects. And I feel like I'm trying to lay out a kind of a sharing of that kind of knowledge, which is why I set up ILAM to support that kind of interdisciplinary creative process.
Jennifer Monson is a choreographer and artistic director of iLand, which can be found on the web at ilandart.org. And once again, she'll be speaking tonight at Tipton Hall, sponsored by the Santa Fe Art Institute. That's at 6 o'clock. You can go to sfai.org or call 505-424-5050. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're streaming live on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe. And my email address is radiocafe@ksfr.org. Stay tuned for the BBC, then local news, then jazz.